CMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Now we're hearing that Sam Rittenberg at Savannah Highway is closed due to water in the roadway, so be very careful if you're headed through there. Several places are closed this morning due to some of the flooding last night. These rains came through. On with us this morning, we've got Laura Smith from News 2. And I tell you what, Laura, after several days of just Chamber of Commerce weather we've had, now all of a sudden, you know, we get this torrential downpour. What's going on out there?
I know, and everyone's waking up saying, what is going on here? Well, Mother Nature's saying, all right, it's time for some unsettled weather. We got to get back to reality. In fact, we're, you know, waking up to wet weather. And now I-26 is actually catching a break. Most of the heaviest rain is now tracking towards the Georgetown area, so now heading towards Myrtle Beach, and most of it now offshore. But this doesn't mean that we're out of the woods yet here today. In fact, we're going to see showers and thunderstorms off and on. Heavy rain, you know, at times throughout the afternoon and evening tonight, unsettled weather, you know, just back into the forecast. So that summertime air mass, you know, it's back, and we're going to see shower. This is really going to be the wettest day, though.
Right.
Certainly don't want to leave the umbrella at home here today, but tomorrow and heading into the weekend and next week, more in scatter nature in afternoon and evening.
Well, a lot of people are wondering, has this got anything to do with tropical storm, tropical depression, Emily?
It sure does. And there is also a stationary front that was down towards the Florida area, Georgia, and it just kind of lifted north and brought a lot of tropical moisture into our atmosphere overnight, right after midnight, in fact. And so this is continuing to lift northeast. And so now we're seeing it, you know, heading towards the Myrtle Beach area and offshore. And that's exactly what it did right after midnight. And so this is really good. We have those dew points are back up. You walk outside. It's like a major difference. It is absolutely humid out there.
So we can blame Florida and Georgia for all of this?
We certainly can.
All right. I'm going to do that.
I think that's what we need to do. And we'll see improvement come tomorrow. It won't be like this tomorrow, but that risk for showers and thunderstorms is certainly there in the afternoon and evening.
All right. Well, thank you very much for keeping us updated. And at least you're not like Colby. At least, you know, they haven't got you stuck out there in the flooding down on Rutledge.
Hey, don't put any ideas in their head. I'm getting called up in the meeting room here shortly.
There you go. All right, Laura, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Laura Smith from News 2 with an update on this weather. Yeah, you woke up this morning. I had no idea. I woke up this morning and I was kind of shocked when I saw this flash of lightning come through the window. Well, not through the window. I saw the lightning through the window. And I was like, wait a minute, what is going on? Then I realized how heavy it was raining and just sheets were coming down this morning. And as I was heading up Leeds Avenue, right there by the detention center, there was water coming over the roadway. And it really was quite a jolt. So when it's dark like that outside, you really need to drive with a lot of caution. Slow yourself down, because sometimes, especially at that hour of the morning, this standing water can really, really come up on you quickly, and you might not have a time to react. Thank goodness for traction control in your car. I never really knew how much you needed that.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Coming up at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be giving away tickets to go see the River Dogs as we have our WTMA Sweet Night with the River Dogs. Coming up this Saturday night, they're going to have Duke, the Bush's baked beans dog. He is going to be there. It's also going to be pretty much everything night. Everybody likes that. Everybody loves everything bagels. Oh, I love everything bagels. They're great. And now they actually sell the everything spice. Well, that's pretty much what they're going to do at the at the Joe coming up on Saturday night. They're just going to be celebrating everything that they have celebrated over the past year. They're going to be, I think, except for the silly string fight. I think maybe except for that, they're going to be doing pretty much everything. Also at 8:10 this morning, we'll be talking with Clay Duffy from Mount Pleasant Waterworks about the testing that was done. And one of your favorites coming up at 9:35 this morning, Megan Barth will be on with us, and we'll be talking about Jeff Flake. And I guess we're finding out just what a liberal Jeff Flake is. So we'll talk to Megan Barth about that coming up at 9:35 this morning. Yesterday, Jim Acosta got into an argument with Trump advisor Stephen Miller about which immigrants speak English. This was an amazing exchange.
So, but this Jim, whole notion of, well, they could learn, you know, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
Jim, actually, I have to honestly say, I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It's actually, it reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree that in your mind, no, this is an amazing moment that you think only people from Great Britain or Australia would speak English is so insulting to millions of hardworking immigrants who do speak English from all over the world. Jim, have you honestly never met an immigrant from another country who speaks English outside of Great Britain and Australia? Is that your personal experience?
Sure, of course there are people who come.
And I just want to say,
sounds like you're trying to engineer the racial and ethnic flow of people into this country.
Jim, that is one of the most outrageous, insulting, ignorant, and foolish things you've ever said. And for you, that's still a really... The notion that you think that this is a racist bill is so wrong and so insulting.
Yeah, it is insulting. It was insulting. I mean, that's what it's basically a merit-based system. And all of this is kind of the RAISE program that the president has proposed and some Republicans have proposed is basically a merit-based system for legal immigrants to come into the United States. So language is just one of those criteria. It's not necessarily the only one. And there are certainly some people who can get into the United States if they don't speak English, as long as they meet certain other criteria, much like they do in Canada. So in Canada, you have a 100-point system. You've got to get 67 points out of 100 in order to be qualified for immigration into Canada. We'll talk more about this because this is absolutely, it's amazing. It was an amazing exchange yesterday. But I'll tell you what, if you want to know how somebody really feels about you, listen to what they tell you you can't do. That, in my opinion, is a definition of an abusive relationship where these husbands out there, they're telling their wives, you can't do this without me. You can't do that without me. You'd be nothing without me. Well, that's what a lot of folks on the Democrat side are telling minorities in this country. They're saying, listen, you cannot make it without us. We're the ones that are giving you the power to do the things that you want to do. Now, anybody can come along and tell you, hey, you can be anything you want to be. You can do this and you can do that. And then when you try to do something, then all of a sudden they tell you what you can't do. Well, that's what the people on the left, that is how they treat people here in the United States, minorities. You can't do anything without us. Without us, you are nothing. Without us, you will not have a chance. You can't get an education. You can't go to college. You can't get into this country. You can't get a job without us. Whereas the Republicans are saying, listen, if you've got the knowledge, you've got the know-how, you've got the desire, you can do anything you want to do. There is a huge difference between these two philosophies. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let me ask you something. Would you rather, if you're at work this morning, and I hope you are, being good taxpaying American citizens, would you rather have a raise or more time off? Which one would you rather have? There's a new report out there that said 41% of Americans would rather get more vacation days than get a raise. 59% of us would take the money and run, which seems low, apparently. We value our free time more than I thought. 39% of people said that they don't think they currently get enough vacation time compared to other people they know. But 30% of us still feel guilty when we take time off. Do you feel guilty when you take a vacation? I have that little tinge every now and then when I go on vacation. I go, I really wish I was at work this morning. Yes, I will have another frosty drink with an umbrella in it. Thank you very much. So more people in America are looking more and more saying that they want more time off rather than an increase in pay. Interesting, interesting study there. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Coming up, we'll talk with Clay Duffy from Mount Pleasant Waterworks about the recent testing that they did over in Mount Pleasant. That was a big debate. And we will be hearing from the mysterious visitor from the East.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Recently, there's been a lot of concern over the quality of the water in Mount Pleasant, especially in areas like Dunes West, where there was reported a cancer cluster. The DHEC has said there is no cancer cluster in the area in Dunes West, and the residents there through social media were complaining about possibility of pesticides in the water. So Mount Pleasant Water Works, they got together and they said, all right, well, we're going to address your concerns and we are going to do some testing. Well, some of this testing has raised a few more questions. On with us this morning, we've got Clay Duffy. He's with the Mount Pleasant Water Works. Good morning, Mr. Duffy. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie.
So there was a report, or there was something mentioned in this report, the testing results that we got back, about Gen X. Tell us a little bit about why Gen X was mentioned in this report from the GEL Laboratories.
Well, I think a lot of people have been hearing about the controversy up in Cape Fear with the water utility up there where Chemours was discharging Gen X into the water, and it was actually getting into the drinking water up there. So
right.
I'm suspecting that might have been what led the homeowner up in Dunes West to ask that his sample be tested for Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
But we've determined that there's no reportable limit for Gen X, and there's absolutely no reason for us to believe that there's Gen X in our water.
Right. Now, it was mentioned in the report, but apparently what it was saying was that this was really the amount of Gen X was below the certifiable testing limits?
Well, if you look at, you know, the ability for an instrument to detect a compound in water has gone from parts per million to parts per billion, and now in parts per trillion. And so when you get down to that small of a concentration, mm-hmm. the ability of an instrument to detect that concentration accurately and precisely becomes, you know, it's not possible. So they set a reporting limit that, you know, if you don't detect any concentration above the reporting limit, you don't report it as having the compound in the solution.
Right. Now, we're talking about parts per trillion. That is certainly a lot more accurate than some of these home testing kits that you can get at Home Depot, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even come. They don't even come close
right.
to being able to quantify, you know, concentrations in that level. No way.
So give us a quick breakdown. What did the results from GEL Laboratories, what did they say about the quality and the purity of the water in Mount Pleasant?
Well, there were no compounds, you know, found relative to Gen X that were reportable.
Mm-hmm.
There were some compounds called PFOA and PFOS. These are perfluorinated compounds, and they were detected in minute quantities, well below any health advisory limits. So that's what the customer's results found, and it's also the same results that we found. We did our additional testing as well
right.
and found the same results. But we have no concern about these compounds at this point. But I will say that we are setting up a research team with the Office of Public Health from the University of South Carolina and other epidemiologists and regulators to look at these emerging compounds, because we know our customers want to know, is the water safe?
Right.
And we want to be sure that we can tell them, you know, unquantifiably that the water is safe.
Now, how often is this testing done?
Well, there's no set standard for mm-hmm. Gen X or PFOA and PFOS. We did test for the perfluorinated compounds back in 2014, and none were detected at that point.
Right.
So, you know, there is a frequency that is required for some of these emerging compounds, and we've been cooperating with EPA and DHEC in doing the sampling. And so far, we have not had any concern about any of these compounds.
Right. Well, that is certainly good to hear. We appreciate you being on the program this morning and clearing that up for us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Clay Duffy with Mount Pleasant Waterworks. Now, Gen X, as he was talking about, the Cape Fear thing. Now, up in North Carolina, they had a DuPont factory that was manufacturing this Gen X chemical. And some of that did get into the groundwater. Now, you're saying, well, what is Gen X? Well, that is a, basically it's used in a lot of household products like nonstick pans, firefighting foam, and outdoor fabrics like if Gore-Tex. I know I used to have a golf rain suit that was made of Gore-Tex, and that had the Gen X chemical in it. So, and certainly when you see something like your outdoor, let's just say your patio furniture, your outdoor fabric that covers that, maybe indoor-outdoor carpeting or something like that may have Gen X in it. But as far as the water testing is concerned over in Mount Pleasant, it appears that when we're talking about parts per trillion, no actual quantifiable levels of Gen X. So I believe that you folks over there in Mount Pleasant can be extremely confident in the quality of your water, at least according to these tests from the GEL labs.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Horrible story coming out of Atlanta. A woman has been charged with second-degree murder and other offenses after a 20-month-old grandson was killed Tuesday by two pit bulls in her northeast Georgia home. This is according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Sandra Adams was charged with second-degree cruelty to children and involuntary manslaughter. It happened about 3:15 the other day on Wednesday when Adams was babysitting this toddler in her home in Hartwell, Georgia. It's about 110 miles northeast of downtown Atlanta. She and the child were outside when the pit bulls ran out the back door, knocked her down, and attacked the child. So she got the dogs back into the resident and picked up the child. And the child's mother, Amy Adams, took the child to the urgent care facility. The spokesperson for the police department there, he could not physically go into details about this attack because apparently it was so horrific. Now, I know a lot of people out there love their pit bulls. I am not one of those people. I'll tell you that right now. I am not one of those people that is a big fan of pit bulls. Now, we hear, you always get this argument. Well, Charlie, you know, other species of dogs, other breeds of dogs bite people more often than pit bulls. Okay, they may bite you more often, but they don't kill you more often. I'm sorry, I don't like it. I don't want a pit bull where I live. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan, I think. Humans have bred these things to the point where I don't even know. I mean, to me, they're just not safe. And I know you guys have pretty strong opinions on that, but these animal rights activists out there, they're trying to paint these pit bulls in a good light. I'm just not one of those people. Talking about animal rights activists, there's going to be a march downtown on Saturday as some of these advocates downtown are saying that that they're going to have this march for more humane treatment for Charleston's carriage horses. Now, the event's going to start at 11 o'clock at the U.S. Customs House on East Bay and Market Street. It's going to proceed on to North Market and South Market Street. This, according to the announcement on their Facebook page at Charleston Carriage Horse Advocates. Now, participants, they say, are encouraged to wear white and carry homemade signs. Signs on sticks are not allowed. Those are bad, apparently. The group was formed to push for a peer-reviewed, science-based study of Charleston's horse-drawn carriage industry and legislation that provides for humane working conditions for Charleston's carriage horses and mules. So they're calling for an outside study on working conditions, and they cite that. Listen, when a horse, basically one of these carriage horses, and I know the horse, that beautiful, beautiful creature named Charlie James. When something happens to a 2,000-pound animal, it's dramatic. It really is. And when one of them falls, it's dramatic. It makes dramatic video. But instead of having a march, I got an idea because of the, 10, 12 people that are going to show up to this thing on Saturday. I got a great idea. Here's a great idea. Why don't you call Tommy Boyle? Why don't you call Tommy Boyle and say, hey, Tommy, we want to come down and we want to see your facility. We want to see how you treat these horses. And you know what Tommy will say? All right, come on down. Love to have you. So you head on downtown, and you go to the Big Red Barn there, and Tommy will show you how well these horses are taken care of. Each and every one of them is treated so well. I've toured it myself. They are in, when they get back from their tour that they give, they are placed under misting fans. That reduces the temperature alone by 20 degrees in the area that they are. They're washed down, their temperatures are taken, and you know what? They go out to the farm when they're off, and they're out there living their life. This is what these horses are bred for. And if they aren't performing the duty that they are bred for, they will literally go nuts. They want to do that work. That's just how they are. These draft horses, these things are 2,000 pounds. They have been bred to work, and they are treated very well. So instead of having this ridiculous march downtown, I got a great idea. Why don't you just go down and tour the facility? Why don't you go down? Like I said, ask Tommy. He'll be glad to show you what's going on downtown. He'll be happy to do it. He's a great guy. He gave me one of Charlie James the horse's horseshoes. I like that. Got it in my house right now, turned upside down for good luck. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be giving away tickets to go see the River Dogs play with WTMA's Sweet Night with the River Dogs. And at 9:35, we'll have Megan Barth on with us talking about Jeff Flake and the fact that I think we're pretty much realizing that that Jeff Flake is not a Republican and he is more of a liberal Democrat. We'll have that for you coming up in just a few. With that music, we know that it is now time for a visitor, the mysterious visitor from the East. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Charlack the Magnificent. Thank you, Charlack, for being on the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I, Charlack the Magnificent,
yes,
will divine the answers to these questions,
right,
sealed on Funk and Wagnalls Port since noon today.
Right, okay, all right.
Yes,
all right,
noon today, yes.
Okay.
The first envelope.
Here
the answer is,
all right,
Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Dolly Parton.
Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Here we go.
And the question is,
yeah,
name two big boobs and one great country singer.
Okay, all right. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you very much. Okay, the second envelope.
The
second envelope now.
The answer is the mayor tickles the ivories.
The mayor tickles the ivories. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. And the question is, why doesn't Mrs. Tecklenburg allow Mayor Tecklenburg to have a maid named Ivory?
Okay, all right. Well, that's understandable. Great. Now we have the third envelope.
I hold in my hand the final envelope.
We have the final envelope here, ladies and gentlemen. The final envelope.
The answer is Ahab the Arabs.
Ahab the Arabs. Okay, all right.
The question, name one store you'll never find Elder James Johnson at.
There you go.
TMA Morning Show.
You're out of line, sir.
On 1250 WTMA.
WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8:42 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones real quick and talk to Michelle. She's out in Hollywood, wants to talk about pit bulls. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Okay. Well, if you've had pit bulls, you have to be a responsible owner.
Mm-hmm.
As your dogs grow up, you learn what they don't like. They even do it at the shelter, whether they're animal aggressive, people aggressive, kid aggressive.
Right.
They score in the same way. So I've had several of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had two that were sisters. One of them was sweet as she could be. The other one was animal and kid aggressive.
Right.
We knew she was kid aggressive, so therefore she was never allowed around children. So, I mean, it's a tragedy, and I don't want to blame anybody.
Right, right.
You know whether your dog's aggressive or not.
But my question, Michelle, is why do you have a dog that's aggressive?
Well, I mean, she was born that way. Like I said, they were sisters. One of them was sweet.
I know. That is, again, my question. Why, okay, let me put it this way. Why do you keep a dog that's aggressive?
because we loved her and we put up a privacy fence and we kept her secluded away from other animals and people for her whole life. And we were responsible with her. We did not let her have the opportunity to hurt somebody.
Okay. All right, Michelle, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. Coming up in just a minute, I'm going to give you some statistics about pit bulls. But right now, I'm going to take caller number 12 at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 12 is going to be joining us coming up this Saturday night out at the Joe as the River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive. And you will be joining us in that wonderful, luxurious, air-conditioned luxury suite. It's Sweet Night with the River Dogs. Caller number 12 right now, 556-1250. We'll be joining us at the Joe. And by the way, a great dog, Duke, the Bush's Baked Beans dog, is going to be there. And I've already been given the directions by my lovely wife, who says, I am going to get to pet Duke, the dog. And I said, yes, honey, you are. We're going to make sure that happens. All right, let's go to caller number 12 right now and say, hey, who's this?
Clay.
Clay, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Congratulations, Clay. You're caller 12. You're going to be joining us with the River Dogs. How about that?
Awesome.
It is going to be awesome. It's going to be a fantastic night out at the Joe as we take on Greenville. And you're going to be joining us in that that luxurious box suite that they've got there. We'll have drinks and we'll have refreshments for you and food up there. And we're just going to have a fantastic time, Clay.
Sounds like a great time.
It is going to be a lot of fun. All right, Clay, I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about that new movie that Al Gore has out, An Inconvenient Sequel. If you go to a movie these days, you're going to see that in the previews there in the theater. And if you're like my wife, she is really something. When Al Gore's picture popped up there on the screen at the previews, she booed him out loud in front of everybody. Boo! I gave her a little nudge. Way to go, honey. Way to go. So we'll have that coming up for you. And we will be talking more about pit bulls and this horrible death of a child up in Atlanta.
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Stephen Miller, one of Trump's advisors, just put the smackdown on Jim Acosta yesterday. It was a very interesting exchange between, I don't know what Acosta's deal is. I think he was more trying to pontificate yesterday in that press meeting than I always thought when you were a journalist. Here's what you do. You go to these press meetings in the White House and you say, can you please tell us how the president came up with this decision? And then the person at the podium answers the question. And then maybe you have a follow-up question, and they call on you again. Say, yes, there's a follow-up. And then you ask that question, and then they... I didn't think the role of the press there was to give their own opinion of what the policy was. I thought it was just to report instead of commentating. But Jim Acosta obviously wants to be a commentator. And like I said, he got his rear end handed to him yesterday by Stephen Miller.
So, but this Jim, whole notion of, well, they could learn, you know, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
Jim, actually, I have to honestly say, I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It's actually, it reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree that in your mind, no, this is an amazing moment that you think only people from Great Britain or Australia would speak English is so insulting to millions of hardworking immigrants who do speak English from all over the world. Jim, have you honestly never met an immigrant from another country who speaks English outside of Great Britain and Australia? Is that your personal experience?
Sure, of course there are people who come.
And I just want to say,
sounds like you're trying to engineer the racial and ethnic flow of people into this country.
Jim, that is one of the most outrageous, insulting, ignorant, and foolish things you've ever said. And for you, that's still a really... The notion that you think that this is a racist bill is so wrong and so insulting.
What I think that Stephen Miller was going to say there, but I think he measured himself, he stopped short of it, was this is one of the most ignorant things you have ever said, and that's saying a lot for you, Jim Acosta. That's a very high bar that you had to jump over there to get to that. So they're always, I mean, they're out there, these folks in the White House press corps, they're trying to, be commentators instead of reporters out there. You want to be a commentator, be a commentator. Go do that. But don't do it under the guise of being a journalist, because you've gone beyond the boundaries of journalism there, in my opinion, with Jim Acosta. Now, this plan that the president has put out, this raise plan, is, and I told you this a little bit earlier this morning, because we were talking about how the left and folks on the Democrat side, they want you to think that you can't do anything without them. If they weren't there, oh, this country would be in just such a, we would be in dire straits if it weren't for the Democrat Party. You minorities, oh, you, oh boy, if they left you, if we left you guys out there at the hands of the Republicans, you, boy, you would be really in bad shape. So they want you to believe that you can't do anything without them. And the folks in the media are completely, oh my God, I'll tell you what I just saw on TV in just a second. They are completely willing to go along with the Democrats, completely willing to go along with the Democrats on this thing. They can't do anything. Well, this whole bill is basically modeled after the great Canadian immigration bill, where they give you a score. So you got to get 60 to be an immigrant in Canada. You got to get 67 points out of 100. Got to get 67 points out of 100. And there are certain things like your education. You get points for that. You get education if you speak the language. What? Why? I think they're trying to control the flow of immigration into Canada. You also get points for experience. Yeah, experience in occupations there. You get points for your age. This kind of raised my eyebrows this morning when I was reading it. You get 10 points for persons between 21 and 49. But for every year above that, you lose 2 points. So if you are 59 years old, it's not even 59 years old. If you are 55 years old or 54 years old, you get 0 points for your age. 0 points for your age. I think that's discriminatory. And your arranged employment. Are you employed? They give you points for that. Adaptability. You get your points for that. So Lindsey Graham says it's going to be a bad thing for us here in South Carolina. Because, we've got people here that are doing jobs that Americans just don't want. Let's go to Robert. He's downtown. Robert, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham doesn't know his head from another part of his body and needs a geology course to distinguish the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
He is so off base. The RAISE Act has to do with green cards and immigration.
Right.
Lindsey Graham's problem is what's stuck in his craw is a bunch of globalists want all this cheap labor for agriculture and seasonal employment at the resorts and so on. That's
right.
Fine. Agriculture and tourism are big, big economic cogs in South Carolina's wheel.
Sure.
But those should be H-2B visas, not green cards.
Right. Exactly
not
right.
Immigrant.
Exactly right.
I am all for enhancing the temporary worker programs for seasonal jobs, but not green cards.
Exactly.
Not immigrants.
Well, I think it's insulting. Here's what I think is insulting, and I think the minorities everywhere ought to just be livid over this, Robert. The fact that he is saying that, you know what, these people are doing jobs that you're too damn lazy to do.
You know, as somebody with a degree in engineering, I'm unhappy with the H-1B visa stuff because they're cheating left and right and cutting educated people out of jobs.
Right.
But this loose green card stuff on the basis of, we need people to do these, lower skilled employees, they're cutting other Americans out.
That's right. They are. They are. You're exactly right. Robert, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in. Joe is in Mount Pleasant. You got about a minute, Joe. You want to talk about jobs Americans won't do.
That's a red herring.
Yeah.
I tell you, I get out in the hinterlands of South Carolina, up at Denver County and Aiken County and all. Aren't a whole lot of immigrants picking fruit in the fields or driving tractors around the corn and the soybeans. They all seem to be pretty much non-immigrant looking, you know, if we're saying that only people from Latin America work in the fields in America.
Right. I think that's insulting to the minorities and lower income people in this country to say, listen, you guys won't even do these jobs. We got to bring in people to do them.
And the other thing, like Mark Levin said on his show last night, Americans will do jobs if you pay them a decent wage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, he's not exactly a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Right, right. They're more like 5 cents a tree to prune a peach tree. Joe, I appreciate you calling in. We'll talk more about this. And I just saw the folks on Univision, for some reason it's on in here, applauding Al Gore. Should he be applauded?